Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hello, everybody.
So, Mara, I have to talk about B&B a little. This was a show that I saw for the first time in my dorm room back in 1987 when it first premiered. And I have to admit, it really wasn't one of my shows because I was probably watching Days or All My Children that I had a longer history with. And even when I came to the magazine, and that was like a mere 3 years later, I kind of like never really was the biggest B&B viewer. Like I watched it, but if you tested me, I don't think I would have done well on that test. However, the past few years, I watch that show every morning before I come to work. Like I call it my pleasure show. I make a cup of coffee and I watch B&B every morning. So I am very up to date on what is going on.
You would ace the test.
I would so ace the test today. I challenge anyone, including Tom Stacey, our B&B editor, to beat me. So our guest today is Jacqueline McInnes-Wood, who has been doing such a fantastic job as Steffi. And she has just had so many emotional moments to play this year, from the fallout of sleeping with Bill to her recent I Choose Me moment that she had with Liam and Bill. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what she has to say about it. But the funny thing about B&B is that it is a half-hour show. The cast is small. So basically, at some point, everyone dates or marries everyone else. But it's really not like B&B is the only show where we see that family swapping going on.
You know, I did watch B&B in its early years. The show really sort of started out with the Ridge-Caroline-Brooke triangle. And Thorne, Ridge's brother, had eyes for Caroline and married her. And this is Caroline the Elder, I should say, because, of course, in another, you know, we marry members of the same family, Caroline's namesake, but her biological niece ended up marrying Ridge. But that's another story. but I was a Ridge and Brooke fan. So when Ridge chose Caroline over Brooke, I was very, very sad for my girl Brooke, who actually bounced back with Eric, his father. And that is one of the first instances I can really remember of accepting someone who I loved in one coupling with another partner. Like, I really was all about Brooke and Eric for a while there. But to your point, it was his dad that she bounced back with. And there are countless examples across every show. Some of the more infamous are probably Guiding Lights' Reva, who married Billy Lewis, his brother Josh, and their father HB. And All My Children's Kendall had sex with Ethan, married his father, Zach. She had slept with Ryan. She slept with Ryan's brother, Jonathan. But clearly it ran in the family because her mother, Erica Kane, had herself slept with and married brothers, Travis and Jack Montgomery. And also, going back, you know, into the 1970s, she married Phil Brent. Then she was engaged to his biological father, Nick Davis. And then later, in the early 90s, had a relationship with Phil's son and Nick's grandson, Charlie Brent. And I could literally be here all day listing examples from different shows.
Well, in real life, that would definitely make for some pretty awkward family gatherings.
For sure.
But, you know, soaps really do get away with telling stories like this and making them believable.
Well, they establish their own reality. And in the world within the show, you know, these things are like par for the course.
Totally. And so in our new issue, we talk about characters coming back from the dead. And we really focus on it from two angles. So one is from the, you know, fallout for the actor of, you know, having to say goodbye to a character and mm-hmm. being killed off and saying goodbye to your job, really. And then the high of whenever it happens, hearing they'll be back on the show again. And also, just actually as an actor, how you approach the story, which truly, in most cases, can sound kind of ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Or even reading on the page, you're like, huh, okay, I'm alive. We'll work on that. It's not like you're really pulling from anything in real
exactly.
life for your performance. So I covered days during the Salem Stalker story where 10 people were killed off. And I did exit interviews, I would think, for pretty much every one of those mm-hmm. actors. And I have to say, it was really rough. And these were long-established actors on the canvas, like Suzanne Rogers and James Reynolds and Bill Hayes. But when I spoke to them, you know, the following year when they were coming back, it was really equally emotional. I know there's been a lot of debate about this over the years among fans, but I remember the interview I did with Suzanne. She said she didn't know that Maggie would be alive at the end of that story. So for her, she really had to process saying goodbye to a character who she had played since the 70s.
I talked to Steve Burton, who returned from the dead as G.H.'s Jason last year for this story in the current issue, and he said that all he felt like he could really do was take it script by script and try to play each beat as believably as possible, since, to your point, obviously he had no real-life experience, you know, oh, back when I came back from the dead when I was in college. No, like, sorry.
Or back when my friend did.
Right, exactly. But it is funny to think about how in writing about soaps and discussing soaps with their makers and their performers, you do just kind of take it for granted that within the world of a soap, people come back from the dead all the time. And each time, presuming that the resurrected character is like beloved and not, you know, someone super wicked like G.H.'s Helena or as the world turns as James Stenbeck, the other characters greet it like it is the hugest miracle ever. Even if it may be, you know, the fifth person to come back from the dead in their family that year or the character's fifth time coming back from the dead.
All right. It's new to you. I mean, look at Matt Ashford, who we know is filming again as Jack on Days. And since we've been told that he's back in a more permanent capacity, I think we can guess that they're likely going to have another mm-hmm. one of his resurrections. So do you think it takes anything away from the deaths and the mourning that we see on screen when we know that it could possibly not be real in a year, 2 years, 5 years later, we could see the character coming back?
I 100% do. You know, I feel there are a lot of reasons that a show might want to bring a character back from the dead, not the least of which is if they can get back a really beloved actor to reprise a really beloved character. But I feel like I wish that sometimes shows would have the guts to just let the dead stay dead. I feel like GH, for example, wouldn't dare bring back Stone or BJ. These were too sacred, you know, we saw the body deaths. But other than that, I feel like the show would and could bring anyone back, including Morgan, you know, who Brian Craig played, at which point I would feel like super resentful as a viewer that I watched the family mourn for him for like a year on screen.
And I mean, despite how great the emotional fallout has been for the Corinthoses, I mean, we've seen such incredible performances from like everyone in that family. But I get it. I mean, I feel as a longtime Days viewer, you never feel that anyone is really most sincerely dead. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly we had Stefano, whose code name was the Phoenix, for his ability to rise from the ashes. So once that pattern was set, everything else in Salem really became fair game.
I have to be honest and say I had like at least a toe out of the Morgan story because there wasn't a body, which is your signal for like, how emotional should I really be about this guy? Like, you know,
he could come back.
Right, absolutely. Now, B&B is a show that doesn't draw on that trope very frequently. It has been done with Taylor and with Macy. And I don't know that if she was a character on a different show, but we can safely say that B&B would never bring back Stephanie from the dead, which I do think would cheapen the emotional impact, certainly, of everything that came out of the matriarch of that show dying. Now, I am a huge fan of her portrayers, Susan Flannery, but I don't feel that B&B would have killed Stephanie off if there was any chance they could have coaxed her out of retirement, whereas on another show, that would probably be a much bigger question mark.
I totally agree. And I do get a lot of emails now with what's going on in the story that people are like, can't we just bring Stephanie back from the dead?
Right.
Like, she needs to come in and talk to Brooke and Taylor and Ridge. And they really miss just having that guiding force mm-hmm. on the canvas. And yet those are the kind of emails I get, like that would be totally normal if they just resurrected this character. Mm-hmm. So obviously this is something just as soap fans were used to and we accept it. Well, speaking of B&B and Stephanie, let's get Jackie Wood on the phone, who plays her namesake, Steffi. Hey, Jackie.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you? You're here with Stephanie and Mara.
Hi.
Hey.
So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. Yeah, it's great. It's great to do this. I'm really excited.
We've been really wanting to talk to you for a while because you've just had so much to do this year, both actually personally and professionally. First of all, we want to say congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you very much.
And also, we just sort of want to talk about Steffi and her journey and everything you've gotten to do, you know, in the past year. So
yeah,
let's start at the beginning. the recent beginning. What did you think when you heard that they were actually going to go there finally with Steffi and Bill?
There was so many feelings when I heard that they were going to be doing this story. I was actually really excited. I knew it was going to be a 50-50. I know there's a lot of Still fans and a lot of Steam fans. But this is something that has, you know, been coming to fruition. Steffi and Bill always had, I don't know, a certain je ne sais quoi. Like, they just had this connection, and we touched on it briefly years ago. And, you know, even when I left the show for a little bit, I just couldn't believe the amount of people on Instagram and Twitter and kind of all over still really fighting for the Still fans, really fighting for Still. And so I was really excited to go down that path and to see what would happen. And they're both really strong characters. And, you know, Steffi and Bill, they're kind of like, it's like the dark horse. And with Liam, it's almost like the yin and the yang. He kind of balances her out. And again, it didn't happen the way most fans would have expected it to happen. You know, that one night, it was, you know, she was tormented and there was a lot of things going on in her mind. But, you know, to see the chemistry that was still there, it was exciting. It was really exciting. And, you know, fans asked me, oh, would Steffi actually do this? How could she? Well, there was a lot of emotions. She's very raw. She's, you know, beautifully flawed. Like, she really has a lot of these flaws. But it was a raw moment. She was so broken over the Sally situation. And there was Bill who, you know, I can't just say, oh, she was just impulsive. You know, there was something there. There's always, it wasn't like they were drinking alcohol and, you know, were wasted and then just slept together. You know, they both knew what they were doing. Of course, it was emotional and raw, but they knew their intentions.
And there was buildup. They really had put in those scenes where they had a lot of sort of intimate moments, you know, friend moments in a sense, or like confiding
Absolutely.
In each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bill was someone at the time that she could lean on. She didn't really feel like she could lean on anyone. So it was a pivotal moment for them. And yeah, turned into this storyline that was, you know, huge. It was such an incredible experience, incredibly challenging for me, but also it was, you know, that bittersweet. But I absolutely loved, you know, getting my hands dirty and playing this role and seeing what I could access within myself as an actor emotionally and to do it day in and day out and basically do it for like 8 months, which again was, yeah, it was challenging, but in the best way possible.
Is it challenging to like sustain that level of intensity, or is it challenging to keep up
yeah.
with the workload? What would you say was,
it
you
was,
know?
It was a mixture. It was a mixture of everything, but you know, obviously we had this, you know, heavy dialogue and you want to bring it and be as present as possible in the scene, even though we're doing, you know, almost 80 pages a day of dialogue. I think everybody feels this, you know, it's always good to have a good cry once in a while. I feel like it's very therapeutic.
You had a lot of good cries. So, yeah, for
thank
sure.
Thank you. And a lot of you, and that's, you know, for me, you know, I really love to plant myself in the moment, in the scene, and put myself in the situation. And so the thought of, you know, losing someone I love was just heartbreaking, to know that this person, Liam, was the best friend to her and know that she was so broken, really put myself in that mode. And which was those tears, you know, some of those scenes where I'm sobbing, it's just some of those scenes where I didn't even realize I would access, and it would just switch. And it was full sobbing as, you know, playing Steffi, but those are Jacqueline's tears. So I think it's, like I said, it's therapeutic to have a good cry once in a while, but you know, you feel good. Okay, we did that scene. Great. And then the next day you got to pick it up again. And then the next day you got to pick it up. And the next day. So it was challenging having to access those emotions very quickly. Like I said, I not necessarily method, but I really put myself in that situation. So it's kind of, you're thinking of these dark, negative thoughts to get yourself there. And it's really shocking. It takes a toll on your body. So it messes with your hormones. It messes with your mental state. It messes with you. So really pushing your body. I mean, it's, again, it's different if you have a few scenes and then you're doing another scenes where it's not as, you know, dramatic and you're not, you know, that, but she was just emotionally exhausted. I was emotionally exhausted. And in that same breath, I got engaged during that storyline too. So I was just, you know, a basket case of emotions.
Well, what was it like for you at the end of the day? Like, what kind of actress are you? Can you shake it off or do you carry it with you?
I'm pretty good. That's, you know, I do find this is, like I said, very therapeutic, and I'm very crazy and as wild and feisty as Steffi is. I'm feisty in my real life, but I'm more, I almost treat it like sometimes it's almost like a little yoga session or a therapy session. I'm really good at letting things go. And that's when people meet me, they have this, you know, they sense that I'm very balanced, and I am, I'm very even keel, very balanced in my everyday life, very relaxed. It takes a lot to really get me angry or, you know, get me upset. So I think maybe it's because I'm putting all my emotions here. So I get to do that. And then a lot of things in my everyday life, it doesn't bother me, but yeah, I'm really good at letting things go. But, there was probably two times where, I think it was at the end of the day and I really had to trigger it was like I was sobbing and I kind of left walking in my car like it really shook my body up. So I think it was like twice where I really felt it, but,
did anyone see you in the parking lot?
I hope not. I definitely felt it. I mean, one of the most challenging days, actually, it was I think it was a full week of, you know, Steffi and Bill and Liam, and I had these really intense scenes, and it was the week, I believe, Liam found out that Steffi slept with Bill. And I remember prior and leading up to that, I was reading the scripts and I was talking to my then boyfriend, and I was reading the scripts, like, I don't know how I'm bloody going to do it. I've been crying. And this is the big, like, anticlimactic thing. And I got to make sure I really want to nail this. But I was at a point where I've cried so much that, like, I couldn't even cry. Like, I could watch a sad commercial or a sad movie and cry, but I couldn't even make tears. I had literally no more liquid in my body. I remember looking over at my friend going, I am crying right now, but I don't even have tears because I've been crying for like months. I swear it was the weirdest thing. And I remember saying that I was reading the script and I said it over to my boyfriend at the time, like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have to like really cry on Friday and I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I just like, I can't even make any tears right now. I just don't know. I hopefully I'm going to be able to like really get there and be present. So while I was, you know, thinking about that, I guess Thursday I was filming, and then Thursday was the night where my then boyfriend proposed to me and had this huge party, and it wasn't like, you couldn't postpone it. He flew in my friends and family from Canada. It was like a whole thing. Like, I thought I had a photo shoot that night, which turned into the proposal. Like, I thought I was booked on a shoot. And so, you know, I was crying all day and then not thinking I could get these waterworks. Of course, you know, I got them for my proposal. But it was that mixture of like, I went from so sad sobbing that day to then happy tears and so shocked. I did not know. I wasn't expecting a proposal at all. And then afterwards, you know, having the dinners and being with my friends and family and really enjoying that moment and being like on cloud nine. And then by 7:30 the next day, really having to get to that dark place again was really, it was actually one of the most challenging moments for me, just to go the highs and the lows. Needless to say, I had like the biggest glass or ish bottle of wine.
Or two.
You needed it after that.
Yeah, or five.
well deserved.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a great experience, and I wouldn't take it back for anything. I really loved challenging myself, and like I said, it's a beautiful thing. When you do storylines like this and you realize, oh, wow, I can do that. And you don't think you can, and you are able to now access these emotions, and be able to do that. That's, you know, I'm really proud of myself to be able to do that and say, okay, I can do, you know, I mean, I'm working on the show at the beginning, like the first few episodes, I think it was like the first three or four. Yeah, it felt good. I felt good. I had my dialogue, you know. They gave it to us, like gave it to me like a week before, which never happens. But you know, I felt so good there. And then it's like, then afterwards I kind of like blacked out for 3 years because you're dealing with so much dialogue. And I just felt like I was treading water. Like I really felt, I just couldn't. And it's these little, you know, kind of boxes that you kind of check off. All right, well, I can do. Now I'm very relaxed and I know what I can do. And it's just a beautiful thing as a human being to see what challenges you and what these obstacles and what you can really overcome. Say, I did it, you know, F it. I did it. And I'm proud of myself for that. So this is one of those moments where I said, check, I can do that. That's cool.
It's a very special skill when you think about it, not just, you know, all the scripts, all the tears.
I don't access these emotions in my day to day. Okay. I'm not one of those. Oh my God. I don't use it against people, but it's a beautiful thing that it's fulfilling.
And hey, it's good to know if the situation called for it, you could pull it out in your real life.
I mean, we'll see if I won the next time I get pulled over.
Right. No, note to self, don't mess with Jackie. So we had Don Diamon on the podcast a little while back, and we were talking about Still. He was mentioning how many fans still come up to him and not only still pro Still, but would really like for Kelly to turn out to be Bills. Have you given any thought to that possibility?
If Kelly's, you know what, that's, I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen. You know, you never know in a soap opera one, but yeah, you just, again, with storylines, you don't know. So that's even though it says right now it could be Liam's, it could still be up in the air.
Yeah, nothing's really permanent on soaps in general, and I feel like B&B in particular.
yeah, it's amazing what you know, storylines you have to forget and other ones you need to keep to remember. It's just, no, we're moving on from that. You don't like this person anymore. You're moving on.
like Wyatt.
yeah, exactly.
well, one story that Brad has really been able to tell for so many years has been Liam, Hope, and Steffi, this triangle, which now with Annika in it has been rebooted. And now we're probably at a place that nobody could have imagined where it's,
I know,
you know, kumbaya all day long.
Yeah.
So what has it been like for you to reboot, you know, the Steffi Hope connection and with a new actress in the role?
Well, I think Annika is just wonderful. She breathes, you know, new air, fresh air into Hope. And, you know, I love filming with her. And she's great. You know, the triangle, you always wonder, how are they going to do it? How are we going to execute this correctly? And, you know, I know that fans sometimes love it, sometimes hate it. They don't like Liam waffling. They don't like Steffi waffling. It's a lot of things. And it's funny because I've been playing this role for so long, and Steffi does become, it's almost like a weird friend to you. You know, you see this, you read the scripts, and as the fans watch the show and they think, oh my gosh, Steffi, how are you allowing this? How are you putting up with this? Well, we all have that one friend or five friends, who knows, that you just want to shake and you say, this guy is a loser. Get out of this relationship. Like, what is he? He's not for you. Just move on. And then your friend's like, okay, yeah, you're right. You're so right. I'm not going to go back. And then you don't hear from them for like 2 weeks. You're like, oh, okay, the girlfriend went back. She went back. Of course she did. Steffi's like that when I read some of the
friend in your life, Jackie.
Yeah, I literally, Steffi, yeah. Exactly. Steffi is like the girl that I want to shake sometimes and go, come on, can't you see what he's doing? It's like, it's just, he's walking all over you. Move on, girlfriend. And again, we've all hey, we all have that friend, and we've all been in that position where you try to justify the relationship. I'm like, no, we are good. I'm just going to make it work. I'm just going to try to make it work as much as I possibly can. I'm going to make him see the light at the end of the tunnel, which never happens. So I'm really happy that as of now, motherhood and just realizing that she's an adult and she needs to think about her daughter and think about herself and being the best version she could possibly be. Again, she's a work in progress, but, you know, I think there's a lot of things she's learning, but I'm loving this strength and conviction in Steffi. Again, we don't know what will happen with this, with this triangle, but I think she's finally seeing that, you know what, Hope and Liam, they are alike, and maybe I am forcing this too much. Maybe it's just this fight has just gone on for way, way too long. And yeah, there's a kumbaya moment, but of course she's human and she's going to have those moments where she's broken and she still has those feelings for Liam, and she never wanted to be that woman, you know, raising her child and going back and forth just like Ridge did with Brooke and Taylor. So she wanted to put her foot down and say, I'm not going to allow this. And, you know, it just shows her that, like, no matter what life throws at you, you can always go forward having the strength in yourself and not let other people be in control of your life or let other people manipulate you or manipulate that strength. So it's I'm really liking the whole I choose me. And again, we will see what happens. We never know with a triangle. It's, you know, she can, Steffi's really good at putting on this false mask and this false, like, this bravado. I've got this all figured out. I'm fine. But you never know. It's, she's always have a soft spot. And of course, it's now she has Kelly. It's, you know, it's his child, so.
Well, I can understand, you know, the challenge of moving on from Liam because there are only 4 guys in the entire city of Los Angeles.
I know, there's only 4. It's crazy. It's just, you know, it's a rotation. I'm like, what will be next? I think Steffi will probably have to go back to Wyatt. Or I'm hoping, I'm waiting on, like, the hot, you know, European guy that comes in that Steffi had a thing with while she was in Italy and Paris. I'm hoping for that.
Yeah, we're definitely at the point where I think we need some new blood into this, and it should be for Steffi.
Yeah,
absolutely agree with that. Let's keep pushing that.
Let's use the secret for the rest of the podcast.
To get over, you need to get under. So,
so wait, you just mentioned, of course, the sort of mirroring in a way of Steffi's situation with the longstanding B&B triangle of Ridge, Brooke, Taylor. What has it been like for you to have Hunter Tylo back on the set as Steffi's mom?
Oh, it's great. It's great. I love her. She's a riot. And her and I, like, laugh in between our scenes. She's wonderful. I was not expecting that. And then when I found out that, you know, people were being very secretive, and I kept seeing, like, in the script, they kept writing the name Janet. And so I'd have to be saying these scenes. I'm like, and you don't understand, if Janet was here. And they were bringing, like, who is this Janet? And they said, well, we're bringing your mom back. So, yeah, it was great. It was great. You know, I hope she comes back. I hope that we do. I get to film more with her. I love playing opposite with her. It's great. She's so much fun. And I love in the scenes where she, you know, she literally, Brooke drives her crazy, and she's giving it her, she gives it her all in these scenes. So I really enjoy that.
Well, we can't talk about Hunter without talking about Torsten. Your scenes, the Steffi Ridge scenes are so great. How would you describe your dynamic with him?
I love filming with Torsten. I have a very close relationship with Torsten, and it plays through our scenes as well. You know, when he gets emotional in these scenes, you know, I know it's so raw, and I know when he's talking about these things about his, you know, his children, he has daughters, and it really chokes him up. And I think it's a beautiful thing that he is able to be emotional and vulnerable and be a man, but it's still like, that's where it's 2018, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's sexy when men can be vulnerable and not this, like, bravado and, like, oh, I'm strong and I'm this and I'm always that way. But they just have a really good dynamic. They just have something very interesting together.
I like your voices that you do for you know, Steffi, now for Ridge.
Yeah, oh, yeah, everyone.
Everyone's got a voice. Right.
I have to say, has a voice.
You're the second person who's done a Torsten Kay impression on this podcast.
Oh, the Torsten Kay, yeah.
Yeah, Don's went like this. Yours had a little more nuance.
I try.
Well, you mentioned getting engaged in the middle of all of this emotional drama, but you also since then eloped and got married. So congratulations. What made you elope, or what made you decide to elope?
Were you just sick of being in wedding dresses after being on Bold and the Beautiful?
Yeah, girl, I've been married like, what, 5 times and talking about weddings and marriage. You, honestly, that did play a part. Like, it really, it's...
You ruined it for me, B&B.
Yeah, seriously. I kept going back and forth. I kept going back and forth with planning, thinking what to plan a wedding, and... I don't know. I'm just that girl that just was never getting around to it. It turned into like, you know, April, and I'm like, wow, I haven't planned anything yet at all. And I'm luckily his family and my family are just really down to earth, easy people. They just said, yeah, if you want to go elope, go. You know, they were like, go to Vegas. It's fine. Yeah. So it was just kind of meant to be. We talked about it and, we had the idea, and who knows, like we may have a big party later, but it's funny when you try to plan a wedding. When we were thinking about it, we wanted to do it overseas. We wanted to do it in Italy. Well, if you want to do it in Italy, you have to get the venue. And really, the only time I was there was when I was during Fashion Week, and I didn't have that time to jump to where we wanted to have the wedding done. And I remember, I think it was around like, maybe it was May, and a girlfriend of mine, April or May, my girlfriend said, are you guys going to do the save the dates? Because flights are getting really expensive. And I just went, wow, I'm an ass. Like, I'm going to make people, hi guys, can you fly to Italy, you know, in a month from now, 2 months from now, and the prices are going to be, it just made sense. So we were there, we were traveling around, and some of our family were there, and a lot of our friends were there actually. And we did it on a yacht off the coast of Sardinia. And one of our friends, they officiate the weddings, and we're like, this is like meant to be. We really need to just do this. So yeah, we did it, and I'm so happy we did it that way. It was so easy, and there was no stress, and you really just felt the love. There was no anxiety. There was nothing. It was just very relaxed, private, and just really, you know, around a lot of love. That's, you know, what we wanted it to be.
Jackie, do you have any idea how glamorous that sounds? We would just happen to be on this yacht off of Sardinia. Everyone we knew was there.
Oh my god!
No, but you've also had the wedding experience.
That sounds awesome.
You've also had the wedding experience, Steffi.
Yeah, it was nice. It was really, you know, it was a nice little, it was great. It was really, like I said, it was perfect timing. Everything was kind of like meant to be, and it wasn't planned. So we knew, we thought about it, we talked about it, but we're like, oh my God, these people are here. Like, let's just do it. This is meant to be. So, it feels good. It feels good to come back and be married now. So yeah, again, like I said, I've been married like 5 times on the show. I did the whole, like, you know.
You've done the big dress. You've done the aisle. Yes. You've done the interrupted wedding. You've kept people from getting married. You've really run the gamut.
There was nothing left to do but elope in Sardinia. And
absolutely.
You did it.
You know, or who knows, if Steffi got married again, I would have just been, Brad, can I use the venue after this so I could get married in my real life?
You guys did that legwork I'm not good at.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is perfect.
Fans there when you kind of were celebrating after? Because obviously I can't imagine.
No, we were just on the yacht. So no, we were.
What's it like for you to walk around Italy?
It's fun. I mean, it's crazy. It's you have those moments where like, yeah, the show is so well received there, and I love. It's just interesting where you're like with Instagram and social media now. It's like you put this video out that you're there, and it's just you kind of see the change, and you see people start to they're
on the lookout.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fans are so wonderful, and you know, I love Italy, and it's always great. I was just there for Fashion Week, and I'll be going again soon for Fashion Week again. So it's a great country. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, your Instagram posts are really fun to look at when you're not going on vacation. For the people who aren't going on vacation, you provide some really great scenery and clothing.
I enjoy traveling. It's fun for me. Right now I'm going through a thing where it's like I really like just doing road trips and kind of staying close by and being with my dog and just taking, you know, the opportunities that are right here. And there's just so many great places. So I'm really enjoying like the road trips when I'm off and just kind of like going up to a cottage or, you know, nothing too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you get to do so much as Steffi that you deserve to just sort of relax in your private life.
Yeah. That's the thing. I really do know it's really important to me to have a balance. And I think in obviously not pushing myself too hard. So I know how to have fun, and I also know how to like relax, and I know how to work hard. It's just, again, it's all about balance.
Jackie, you sound very emotionally healthy. Are you sure that you're an actress?
I know. Trust me. I know. Oh God. My friends say that all the time. Well, we were down in the hair room, and I think the fans came in, or somebody, I think, and the hair and makeup. They're like, "Oh, we're looking for just some of the actors." I'm just sitting there, like eating my like food with like head down. They're like, "Oh, they're not here. They're not here." And they left. They're like, "Oh crap, we forgot you're here." Well, you're not like a real actor. You're like normal. thank you. I think it's really important to stay true to who you are and, you know, be able to laugh at yourself and not let anyone define you and not try to be anybody. And hey, don't get me wrong. Like it's always fun to experiment, try like with different makeup and different hair and different, but it's who you are authentically, you know, who your soul is. I think it's really important to just stay true to that.
Here, here. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a great chat.
Thank you. So fun chatting with you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And again, congratulations on the marriage and just the 2018 you're having. It's been amazing to watch.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You guys have a great day.
Thank you to Jackie for being our guest. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to pick up the new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
Summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. Beat the heat before you hit the road with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.